Good morning, and a warm welcome to the service this morning. A welcome especially to those who are visiting with us, some friends who are visiting from different areas, some who might be here for the first time, and everyone is very welcome, those who are in the building and those who are online as well. It's good for us to come together and to be able to worship God in this way. I don't have an intimation sheet or email, so I'm just going to go through the intimations as they are on the screen there. And you have the welcome there. There's no tea and coffee after the service today, just to be a bit maybe cautious about things at present. Evening service tonight at 6, and I'll hopefully take that myself. Kirk session meets tomorrow at 6 p.m. here in the church, and the ladies' fellowship meet on Monday at 8. I think tomorrow night the ladies are meeting at 7:30. In the church here, some of them. So you'll have details on that. Little Fish is on Tuesday, 10 till 12, and Road to Recovery on Tuesday evening at 7. And the prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7:30 here, and on Zoom also. And the children's Christmas parties take place on Friday, hopefully. Up to P3, including the creche, 1:45 to 3:15, P4 to 7, at 4 p.m. to 5:30. And any donations of party food for both parties will be welcome. You can all read this as well, but for those who can't see this online, I'll just read this out, so bear with me. It's hoped that Rooted will go to ice skating at Scaldale on Friday, and the Rooted folks will get details of that minibus leaving the church no later than 4:45 for a 5 p.m. start. And the service is next Sunday. Hopefully, God willing, will be taken by myself. Sunday morning service will be a Christmas family service at 11 o'clock, so you can note that. There's the CD that Duncan mentioned a couple of weeks ago. Again, the details are there. And I think that's all the intimations. You've seen them on the screen beforehand anyway, so that's as much as we've got time for just now. So let's begin this time of worship, and we'll sing to God's praise. We'll sing from hymn 172 or 3. What is it, Ruthie? I've got a little Town of Bethlehem in my notes here. Let me just double check that is what's on the screen. Yes. I've got 173 in the hymn book, but hopefully it doesn't really matter. So we have the words on the screen there. O little Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. So we'll stand to sing the first of our Christmas carols this year, and we sing to God's praise. Close our eyes and bow our heads, and let's speak to God as we come to Him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that's been set aside from all other days. We thank You for this, the Lord's Day, where we're able to take time to be still, and we pray to know that You are God, and that You are with us. We thank You, Lord, for what we have sung in that hymn. Words which are familiar, a tune that is so familiar to us that we've sung year on years through the course of our lives. And yet we thank You for the wonder of all that is packed into these words. We thank You for the fact that in this dark world, You have not left us in darkness, but You have given us the everlasting light in Christ. We thank You that You looked upon us, Father, in our sin when we fell, but determined that in love You would not leave us in that hopeless state, but You would send Jesus, Your Son, to be our Saviour, the light of the world, who could bring everlasting light into this world and into the souls, into the hearts of all who trust in Him. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You, Lord, that when we deserved nothing but to be pushed away from You, You have shown to us not judgment, not cold, hard law, but You have shown to us such grace in Christ. We thank You that Jesus took our sin from us when He came into this world. We thank You that Jesus, He lived for us the perfect life, the life that was without failure and without fall, a life which was lived as the substitutionary life in our place. We thank You that He kept all of the laws of God. And we thank You that He gives to us His righteousness when we believe in Him. And He takes from us our sin when we believe in Him. We thank You for the message that was given to Mary and Joseph through the angel, that Emmanuel, God with us, is here. And we thank You that that's the essence of the Christmas story, that God is with us, not against us, but with us and for us. As the Apostle Paul said in Romans, if God be for us, who can be against us? So we ask, Lord, that as we reflect on these familiar truths in the course of this hour and over this season, we pray that the Holy Spirit would press them into our minds and into our hearts. We pray that these truths would not be historic facts which are remote from us, but we pray that You would give us faith, that we would take hold of them, and that we would know the reality of Your love and Your grace, and the salvation that comes only through Jesus. So help us, Lord, we pray. We pray that in this hour, in this service, we would know the reality of Emmanuel, God, with us. We pray that You would open our eyes and that You would open our ears and that You would help us to see and hear Jesus. We pray Your blessing on everyone who is here and those who are not here but who are watching from a distance, perhaps just now or perhaps later in the week when they click a button. You pray your blessing on each life that is connected to us here, Lord. We pray for all the homes that are represented. And we thank you that you're the God who knows us. And you know the joys and you know the heartaches. You know the things that bring us such peace and contentment. And you know the things that cause us to be restless and anxious. And we pray that you would meet us, Lord, today at the point of our need. We bring to you those who may be anxious about the week ahead, some who may be going for tests in hospital or procedures in hospital. We thank you that you are the one who hears our prayers as we bring them ourselves and as we carry those whom we love to you. And where there is anxiety about what's up ahead, we pray that you would give peace. We pray for those who are in hospital at present. We think of Billy Ross especially, who comes into the church week by week. And we ask, Lord, that you would draw near to him, having to deal with the reality of losing another leg. We pray that you would strengthen him in his inner being. We pray that you would uphold him. And Lord, that he would know that you are close to him and that he would know that he is remembered by your people. So bless him, Lord, we pray. We pray for Anthony as he recovers at home. And we pray for others who have gone through surgeries and who are waiting for different treatments, who are in their homes, who would want to be with us but who are unable to be. And we ask, Lord, for your blessing to be upon them and their families. We pray for those who are grieving. We are conscious that this time of year is a joy to many, but it opens up old wounds of grief. And we ask, Lord, for your comfort for those who are sorrowing to know that you are the Father of all compassion. And we pray for those who battle with addictions and who find that the temptations are more intense over this period. And we ask that you would strengthen them, Lord, and that they would look to you day by day. Pray for those who are fearful as well. We hear reports in the news, we read papers, we struggle to know how to discern everything that we take in, but we ask, Lord, that you would calm those who are fearful and that you would give us wisdom through this time. We pray for those that you have allowed to be in authority over us as you've called us to. And we ask, Lord, that you would give to them wisdom. We are conscious that they do not ask for it. They do not look to you. But we pray that as we pray for them, that you would give to them what they need to govern well. Hear our prayers. Take away our sin, Lord, we pray, as we confess it. And lead us and guide us in this hour. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Boys and girls, would you like to come forward, please? How's everyone today? Good. Good stuff, good stuff. You looking forward to holidays? And Christmas? Everyone recovered from the ice skating Friday?
I was in there.
Bumps and bruises? Oh, you'll get to go though. So, Lily was there, Jono was there, some people were there. Yeah, connected there. There'll be others coming next week. Next week will be more, yeah. Conversation for another day. So, John Roddy and Bella are disqualified from answering this question, but I've got something to show you today, and I wonder if you know what it is.
It records.
You think it's a tape recorder, Michael?
Yes.
I'll show it to the people who might be at home. I know there's some of the boys and girls that are at home. You see that there? It's got a wee twiddler thing there. I think that's a technical word for it. And there's the cable. You can see over there maybe as well. Any ideas? So we've got one guess, and it's a tape recorder. I can tell you it's not a tape recorder. Does it go into the microphone and with a button I can turn the volume up?
I see the button.
Yeah, no, it's not that either. Nothing to do with microphones, nothing to do with tape recorders. Katie? A what, sorry? Electric pump?
Pin.
No,
she said pump.
Electric pump? No, it's not electric pump.
It's something to do with
animals. Is it something to do with animals, said Jono?
He would use this.
It's nothing to do with animals. It does have something to do with God, but that's down the line here. So I'll put it over this way. Let's see. Do you think the adults might know?
Yeah.
You think they'll know?
Teenie says that Teenie's shouting
and
screaming.
Teenie's shouting. Okay. Right. Let's just draw on the wisdom of the adults. Will you be disappointed if they don't know?
Yes.
Yes, I'm very disappointed.
I'll be disappointed if they know anything.
So anyone know what this is? What's that? It's for finding. See, if I'd shown it to you a bit closer.
But is that for coordinates?
Know what it says?
It said satellite finder.
It says what Murdo said. Satellite finder. So that's what this is. This is a satellite finder. It's not quite the internet, but remember a couple of weeks ago, the wind blew really strong. And we've got the Sky television dish for getting the satellite TV. And after the wind blew, did anyone else lose their signal?
Yeah.
Some people lost their signal. We lost half our channels. And so I didn't know what to do. And James came and he gave me a wee help. And he had a different kind of device. But I don't have that one today. And then we had a look at the dish. And it was a bit shuggly and it was a bit rusty. And James said, I think if you phone Kenny McLean, he might know how to do this. So I phoned Kenny, and he appeared with a dish and an arm, and he appeared with this thing, and he screwed it into the dish, and he got it in exactly the right position. And then he says, off you go inside and check to see if there's a signal, see if there's a picture. And the picture was crystal clear, and now the satellites are lined up, and we're getting a good picture. And Kenny was saying to me, this is the point, Michael, you were asking a second ago. What's this got to do with God? Michael's always trying to figure the sermon out before I get to it. Well, Kenny said to me when he was lining up, he said, the thing is, you have to get it in exactly the right position, because if it's not in exactly the right position, and if anything's blocking the direction to the satellite, if there's anything that's blocking the beam, like a mountain or trees or whatever, between you, your dish, and the satellite, doesn't work. No picture. So, I could say, what do you think the sermon is now, but I won't. I think we're a lot like the dish. Older fashioned people might have been called at one time, well, you're a bit dishy. That's the old fashioned way of saying, he's very handsome, or she's very pretty. But, you know, we're all a bit like this dish. Because the dish that's on the side of the house, you know, that's for picking up all the signals, it has to stay connected to the satellite if it's going to work. Now, who do we have to stay connected to?
God.
If we are going to be bright and healthy and strong as Christians. Who do we have to stay connected to?
Jesus.
We have to stay connected to Jesus, don't we? And we can't let anything or anyone get in between us and Jesus. See, if there's anything that gets in the way of the satellite, then there's no picture. What kind of things might get in the way of us and Jesus? What might get in the way of us being close to Jesus? Yeah. And what kind of things specifically do you think in your life? Michael? You can think about that. Sometimes it can be our hobbies. We spend so much time on our hobbies, maybe on gaming or something. We've got no time for God, no time to read the Bible, no time to pray, and we drift away from Jesus. And sometimes, with the older ones more so, it can be our work. And our work's so busy, we're working all the time. And we've got no time for Jesus. We start to drift. We lose that picture we have of him. We lose sight of him. We can't hear what he's saying. So if the dish is a bit like us, I think this finder is a lot like the Bible. Because if you want to know, boys and girls, how to stay close to Jesus, if you want to be able to see Jesus clearly, where do you look? The Bible. If you want to hear what Jesus has to say to you,
church.
Where do you look?
Church.
Well, the Bible, yeah. In the church, we only read one book, don't we?
Yeah,
it's the Bible. So, the Christmas story really is all about how God came near to us. And God wants us to stay near to him. Not to let anything, not to let anyone get in between us and him. So boys and girls, let's stay close to Jesus over this Christmas and every day. And we can pray about that just now. Lord God, we thank you for the Christmas story. We thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus, your Son, into this world. We thank you that his name was Emmanuel, is Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you that we are able to be close to God. We thank you that as we open the Bible, we're able to hear God speak to us. We thank you that as we think about these passages in Scripture, we're able to see that picture of who you are. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We pray that you'd forgive us because we know that sometimes we let other things get in between us and you. We lose sight of you. We lose sight of how much you love us. We lose sight of how good it is to be close to you. And we pray that you'd forgive us, Lord, for that. Forgive us for our sin. And help us, Lord, we pray, each day to be asking you to take our sin away. And each day to know that you are close. So hear our prayers and bless the boys and girls as they head through to Sunday school in a minute. Continue to speak to them through your word. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing now this second carol, and it's the hymn number 195, and I think you know this one very well. Away in a Manger, you know it? Away in a Manger? Yeah, Michael's given us the tune. And there's a line in this hymn in particular, which I was thinking of just as we were thinking about that message. It says in the third verse, "Be near me, Lord Jesus. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray." And that's our prayer, and we can sing it now.
Stars.
Okay, boys and girls, have you had to Sunday school? And we can turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry, the words are on the screen. Luke chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 26 to verse 38. This is God's word. In the sixth month, and in that reference there, it's the sixth month of Elizabeth, that's Mary's cousin's pregnancy. She's carrying John the Baptist in her womb. And so it says there, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amen. And may God bless that reading of his word to us. We're going to sing again now to God's praise. And we'll sing in Gaelic this time. Psalm 103. And verses 8 to 11 of the psalm. Psalm 103, verses 8 to 11. I'll just read it in English. "The Lord our God is merciful, and he is gracious, long-suffering, and slow to wrath, and mercy plenteous. He will not chide continually, nor keep his anger still. With us he dealt not as we sinned, nor did requite our ill. For as the heaven in its height the earth surmounteth far, so great to those that do him fear." That means respect, not to be scared of. "So great to those that do him fear, his tender mercies are." We'll remain seated to sing these verses in Gaelic to God's praise.
Yeah.
Turn back to the passage that we read, that would be helpful. We'll just take a few minutes and think about this message that came to Mary. And as we do so, let's pray again. Our Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, and we pray that we would know his help as we think about these verses for a few moments. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would open our minds, that you would give to us faith, that we would believe and not resist, not doubt. We pray for the young ones in Sunday school, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless them and that they would come to know you and trust you in the early years of their life. And we pray for the congregations around us here and across the nation and in all nations where the Bible is opened and where Jesus, where Christ crucified and risen is preached. We ask, Lord, that you would be at work, that you would be lifting up Jesus, and that many, including us, Lord, that we would be drawn to him today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. There's a lot of things over Christmas, over the Christmas season that we... you know, that we do. There's traditions that we follow, and one of these traditions that we follow is the sending and the receiving of cards. There are still some people who do that. Nowadays, quite a lot of folks will say, I'm not sending cards, I'm going to make a donation to a charity, but there are still many people who send cards. We send, we receive cards. And if we don't send and receive cards, we probably make a point over Christmas to either send somebody a message or to take a second and pick up the phone and have a chat with them. I was looking at an article online this week, and Vodafone were reporting that over the Christmas week, there can be about a 40% increase in the use of our phones. And much of that is down to the sending and the receiving of messages. And what I want to think about today, and what I want to look at today, is is one of God's messengers. I don't think I've ever preached a sermon on an angel before. We've looked at various characters through the Christmas story over the, I think, the 7 years that we've done Christmas together here. But I don't think we've ever actually looked in any detail at any of the angels. So I want to look today at this particular angel that we meet in the passage that we read. And more so than looking at the angel himself, we're looking at the message, or we're listening to the message that this angel brings. And it may be that some are just a little more interested than usual at this point in the service, because today there is a lot of interest in angels. And there are people who I'll regularly speak with who have no great interest in Jesus, and who tend to close down when one tries to have a conversation about Christ. But talk about angels, talk about stones, talk about spooky things, and they're all over that. There are some people who are absolutely fascinated by angels, and that's kind of ironic, because what we'll see today is that angels never actually want us to be fascinated with and preoccupied with them. Angels are always pointing us away from themselves and to Christ, and to the Word of God, which points us to Christ. So I want today to rewind from where we were in Luke 17 and go back to the familiar ground of Luke chapter 1 and consider this this encounter that Mary has with an angel. And the first question we can ask is, who was the angel? We're not usually told the name of an angel sent by God. If you go through Scripture and you look at these different encounters with angels, they don't usually have names. But in this instance, we're told the name of the angel that's sent by God, and his name is Gabriel. So look at verses 26 and 27. It says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary." So we're told there not just the name of Mary, but we're told the name of the angel. And that allows us then to think a little wider than this passage and look at the instances where this angel Gabriel features in the Bible. And we find him in two places. We find the angel Gabriel, first of all, in Daniel, the book of Daniel, and we find him in chapter 8 and in chapter 9. We're not going to go there today for the sake of time, but you can take my word for this and check it out later. In Daniel, the angel Gabriel, he appears to Daniel in a vision. And Daniel is living, he's one of God's people, he's a believer, and he's living in a very dark place called Babylon. And he's living in a really dark time. So for lots of reasons, Daniel would have been struggling. And the angel Gabriel appears to Daniel, and he helps him to understand why the darkness was there. And more importantly, he helps Daniel to understand and to reassure Daniel that light was coming. So Daniel, in this dark place, at this dark time, he has this encounter with the angel Gabriel, who tells him, light is coming. And he speaks to Daniel, and Daniel focuses on this phrase, the Son of Man. One called the Son of Man is going to come into this dark world and bring light. So we find the angel Gabriel there in that book. And the second place that we find the angel Gabriel is just slightly earlier in Luke chapter 1. We're in verse 26. But if you go a little back from there, we see this encounter between the angel Gabriel and this priest called Zechariah. And Zechariah was a faithful man of God. And he he meets with Gabriel. Gabriel appears to him in this not vision, but in this real life encounter. And Gabriel, using the language of Malachi, interestingly, he tells Zechariah that even though his wife was barren and couldn't have children, she was going to have a child. And that child was going to be John the Baptist, the one who would prepare the way for the light. The one who would prepare the way for Jesus, the Savior. And now, for the third time, we see the angel Gabriel, and he appears to Mary. And he appears to her to tell her that the Lord, the Savior, the light that was promised, he had now come. And he would be born to her. Which was a staggering thing for her to hear, but she believed it. Because it was true. But you know, that's about all we know about the angel Gabriel. We don't know much about what he looked like. We're not given a description of his height. You know, his appearance. We don't know anything about his personality. We don't know his history. And the reality is, we don't need to know any of that. Because the angel Gabriel's job was not to draw attention to himself, but to tell people about Jesus. And we can learn from the angel Gabriel in that. You know, we live in a culture that's very self-promoting. We like to tell the world through social media a lot about ourselves. And you can scan through Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and you can learn all kinds of things about people, about who they are and what they like and what they ate for dinner and what shoes they're wearing today, and you know, all manner of detail is out there about us. But you know, if we're Christians, we've been given the same job description as the angels. And that's to go and tell people about Jesus. Not about us. See, telling people about me, or are you telling people about yourself and about what we do and what we like and where we're going and where we've been, that's not going to change anyone's life. Might be mildly interesting, it might be deeply boring. But it's not going to change anyone's life. But telling people about Jesus, about who he is, and about what he's done, and living for us, and dying for us, and rising from the dead, telling people about that can change not just someone's life, but it can change their eternal destiny. So we can take a point in application here to be more like Gabriel. Less about us, more about Jesus. We can imagine the angel Gabriel. We can imagine the excitement and the you know how he'd have been gripped by this message that he's been given to share. That the Savior, that the Son of God had been born into this world. One commentator, Hendrickson, says, "The great moment for which all preceding generations have been waiting for has finally arrived. The Messiah is about to appear, and Gabriel has been ordered to announce his imminent arrival, and arrival by means of conception and birth." So we can imagine Gabriel walking onto scene, filled with wonder at this message that he'd been given to share, that the Savior had come. And it was an amazing message to share. You know, but think about this. We have a more amazing message to share. We can tell people not just about the birth, but we can tell people about the perfect, sinless life of Jesus. and hand them the Bible and say, you can read about it here. You can see the glory of it in Scripture. And we can tell people about the death of Jesus. Why did he die? For my sin. So that I can confess my sin and know that every sin is wiped away. He hung, he suffered on that cross to deal with the hopeless situation that we were in, so that we who were headed for death and headed for hell can be promised everlasting light and life in heaven. We can tell people about the death of Jesus. And we can tell people about the fact that not only did Jesus die, but he rose the third day. He rose from the grave, demonstrating that everlasting light had come. Giving assurance that everlasting life was now available and could be shared by all who believe in him. So that's a little about who the angel Gabriel was. I want to think now about what the angel Gabriel said. What message did he bring from God? And we can consider this under three headings. The first message that the angel Gabriel brings is a message of greetings. And that's the first point you can note there. The angel went to her, Mary, verse 28, and said, greetings. So that's the first note of the message. And we know that when we're in a conversation with someone, that the first word in a conversation, it sets the tone for everything else. So if someone comes to us and they speak to us with warmth and they put us at ease in the first word, then we're kind of at ease for the rest of the conversation. Whereas if someone comes up to us and gets in our faces and says, hi, we're on edge. And for Mary, who was just a teenager, by the way, probably about 16 years old, was just an ordinary girl from a small village, Nazareth. They reckon Nazareth was about 600 people, about the same size of Tarbert. I mean, imagine how terrified she must have been when the angel walked into her life. Because we know from the encounter with Zechariah earlier in the chapter that something of the glory of God shone around Gabriel. Because Zechariah, the priest, when he sees Gabriel, he's startled, we're told. He's gripped with fear. And he has to be told by the angel, don't be afraid. So Mary, just a young girl, there must have been some kind of state of alarm about her when she first saw the angel. What would he say? Why was he coming to her? What message from God would this angel deliver? And it begins on that note of greetings. We can imagine the sense of relief that swept over Mary as she's given this message from heaven. It wasn't a message of judgment and condemnation. It was a message of greetings. The word in the Greek is the word chairo, which means to rejoice. It means to be glad. So the angel comes to Mary and he says, you can rejoice. You can be glad because of this message that God has given me to deliver to you. And I think we should just take a moment to take that in. I meet so many people, and so will you, who have the wrong impression of God. Maybe we're even sitting here or watching at a distance this morning, and you have the wrong impression of God. You have this sense that God is always frowning at you. He's always watching us with that readiness to catch us out and pull us down. But if that's how you think about God, it's wrong thinking. It's a false impression. God, when he comes to Mary through his messenger, he's not growling at Mary. He's bringing greetings. And God does not have plans to spoil Mary's life and make it miserable. Rather, through the child that she will carry, God plans to bring gladness and joy to her and to the whole world. Even to us. Speaking to a guy this week, he doesn't live in Harris, before you go guessing who it might be, but speaking to this guy this week, and we got on to talking about church and where he was in terms of his relationship or not with God. And he told me, he says, I'm not against church, you know. And actually, he says, what I do is I take my kids to the Sunday school, I drop them at the door, I jump in the car, and I'm out there as quick as possible. And although he was kind of half joking, it was obvious from the way that he spoke and from the way that he wanted to get off the conversation that he was either scared of God or scared that God would bring some kind of misery into his life. So he couldn't get out the door quick enough. And all that is based on a false impression. You know, if we believe that God only wants to take hold of us in order to make us miserable and to growl at us and to spoil our lives, then you're listening to the devil. It's the devil's lie. The message that Mary heard and the message that we need to hear is that message of greetings. The one true God broke into this world. He didn't have to, but he chose to. He broke into this world and he brought that message of greetings, of gladness and joy that he is so ready to bring to those who will trust him. So what did the angel say? He said to Mary, greetings. Sets the tone for everything that follows. And the second thing the angel says is it's a message of grace. Look at verses 28 to verse 30. The angel went to Mary and said to her, greetings, you who are highly favored. You can underline that word. The Lord is with you. Note that he's with you. He's not against you. He's with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And we have that word favor twice there in three verses so that we won't miss it. And the word that's translated as favor in the text is the Greek word charito. Don't know if that's the right pronunciation, but you can take it from me. And it's the word in Greek that we get our word charity from. Greek word charito, from which we get our English word charity. And it's just an old-fashioned way of saying grace. So God, he through this messenger, he comes to Mary to show her grace. He speaks greetings. And he's showing her grace. And through this child Mary would carry, God would show grace to the whole world. So what is grace? I'd love to stop for a second and just ask for a few answers on what's the definition of grace. We won't do that. But let me give you a few definitions of grace as have come forward through various scholars over the generations. Thomas Goodwin says, grace is the freeness of love. Grace is the freeness of love. Oswald Hoffman says, grace is love that gives, that loves the unlovely and the unlovable. Campbell Morgan says grace is love in action. Andrew Murray says grace in God is his compassion on the unworthy. So we have this picture that develops there as we listen to various thinkers of what grace is. Grace is a good thing. Grace is a glorious thing. Grace is something that flows from the heart of God. And this messenger that comes to Mary, he says, greetings, be glad, be joyful, because God wants to share with you his grace, his love, his compassion. John Stott says, grace is love that cares and stoops and rescues. And that's what God was doing here. You take that definition. He broke from eternity into time. The God who cares for his fallen people. The God who looks in on this world that was in such a state and was so broken and sees people who were so miserable because they were so far from him. And he breaks into this world and he cares for his fallen people. He stoops down from heaven. He sends a message through this angel, and the message is that a rescuer had come to deliver his people from hopelessness. And to give them grace. And you know, that's the essence of the Christian gospel. The message of Christianity is distinct from any other religion and every other religion. And you know, the attribute of grace is found in no other God. This is unique to Christianity. In every other religion, you can study them yourself. You can see that there is a consistent teaching through every other religion that if we work hard and try our hardest to be good, then maybe, just maybe, we'll be able to climb our way back into God's favor. So every other religion you study, there's different terminology for it, but it's like a ladder that you climb up with great effort to try to get to heaven. Look at Islam, look at Buddhism, study the Jehovah's Witnesses, go where you want. Look at all these different religions, and that's the method. You're climbing up to try to reach God. You're straining with all you have to make God love you. But in Christianity, we're not told to climb up the ladder to God because we can't do it. In Christianity, God comes down. In no other religion will you find God coming down. But God, in his great grace, he stoops down to the people that he loved. You know, as we sometimes sing in that short hymn, love came down at Christmas. Love divine. And God, we see here, he stoops down to us as he did to Mary. And he gifts us, he offers to us his grace and his favor. J.C. Ryle says, let us admire the amazing condescension of the Son of God. The heir of all things not only took our nature upon him, but took it in the most humbling form in which it could have been assumed. It would have been condescension to come to earth as a king and reign. But it was a miracle of mercy, passing our comprehension, to come on earth as a poor man, to be despised and suffer and die. So God, he speaks to Mary through this messenger, and he says, greetings, and let me tell you about my grace. You can be saved through my grace. The Apostle Paul was a professional churchman, I suppose. He was a Pharisee, a religious academic, and he had spent many years studying religion, and he was the most serious man you could ever find in terms of wanting to be religious. But he never had any assurance of being saved. He was lost. In spite of all his learning, in spite of all his robes and clerical collars and letters after his name, he was lost. And he's just gripped by this bitter hatred for those who were Christians. And then one day, he was on the road to a place called Damascus. And again, Jesus came down to him and challenged him about his sin and gave him grace. Paul had been trying to climb his way up through the ladder of religion, and Jesus comes down, confronts him about the sin of that, and gives them grace. And Paul, as he reflected on that day, he said in Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For it's by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." And for Mary, you know, there was much that she still didn't understand. There was much that still left her troubled as she thought about the implications of all this in her family and with her fiancé. But she trusted God. And she received the grace and favour of God as she received and carried Jesus. And I want to ask the question this morning, have we received Jesus yet? Have we received Jesus yet? You know, we can hear about this message. We can read about an event that happened 2,000 plus years ago in a place far from here. We can have interest. We can even feel a Christmas sense of warmth about all that's familiar in these stories that we hear. But have we received Christ yet? Mary didn't understand everything, but she trusted God. Sally Lloyd-Jones puts it this way: she trusted God more than her eyes could see. And she knew God's grace. She knew God's favour. She knew that gladness, that joy of the greeting that God brought to her. So what about us? Well, we trust God. He comes with the same tone. He comes to us with words of greeting. He comes to offer to us a gladness, a joy, a peace that we'll find in no other place. And he comes to us in grace. He's not asking us to earn our salvation because we can't. He's not asking us to climb our way up to him through lengthy religious scholarships. He's simply asking us to trust him. Grace is a gift. Forgiveness of sin, peace with God, eternal joy. It's a gift. It's offered to us all. So may we be encouraged to receive it as we receive Jesus into our hearts today. My time is gone, so we're stopping there. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this passage that we've read. We thank you for this encounter that the angel Gabriel had with Mary. We thank you for the account that we're given of how he came to her and probably caused such a surprise, such a shock in her life, and turned everything upside down in terms of her engagement with Joseph and relationship with family and what the village would say and talk about her when they heard that she was pregnant. And yet we thank you that Mary did not resist, but she trusted God. And we thank you that through Mary we see the one who was called the Son of God, the Saviour, Jesus, the one who would save his people from their sins. We thank you that we see Jesus born of a virgin, something that's beyond our comprehension, something that is supernatural. And yet we thank you that it's true. Nothing's impossible with God. And we thank you that as we look at our own hearts, and as we see our sin, and as we see how far we often drift from you, we thank you, Lord, that you don't push us away and write us off. But you come to us with that same message of greetings, that same message of grace for all who will believe. So give us faith, we pray. May no one walk out this door today still carrying the weight of their sin, still searching for peace and joy and life in all the wrong places. Enable each of us, we pray, to simply say to you, Lord God, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for trying to fill my life up with a million different things that don't satisfy. Forgive me for all my efforts to save myself. Thank you, Lord God, that you sent Jesus to be my Saviour. Enable each of us, we pray, to simply say, Lord, I trust you. Come into my life. Come into my heart. And save me. Let me pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing to conclude the words of the hymn number 178, and they're on the screen. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. And at the end of the hymn in particular, I think there's a really good verse there that encourages us to respond to God's message of greetings and grace. What can I give him, we ask, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart.
Oh.
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the fellowship, the comfort of God the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.